Welcome to the Building BN podcast, where we take an inside look at Bloomington Normal economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners. Hosted by your BN EDC. So today we have Illinois Wesleyan University's John Corton with us, and we're going to be talking about the Petrick Idea Center, along with just getting to know John a little bit better, a little bit of his history, how he got here, and hopefully some of his favorite spots later on. We always like to share. It's always funny to me. I'll run into townies that have been here for a really long time. They don't know about all the restaurants everywhere, so it's great to get that variety. Before we jump into everything that is Petrick and Illinois Wesleyan, just tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up here in Bloomington Normal.
First of all, thank you for having me here, Patrick. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to talk with you about some things we're passionate about and going on at Illinois Wesleyan University. I grew up in Litchfield, Illinois, and my first venture into Bloomington Normal was when I enrolled in a pre-engineering program here, which was designed for transfer to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, ultimately where I got my degree. So I've made my best friends in the world and met my wife here, here in just not too far from where we're sitting.
Nice.
So after having met my wife here, I completed my studies in pre-engineering, transferred to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, finished my degree there. We got married, and I took on my first job with General Electric in Syracuse, New York, where I worked as a systems engineer in their anti-submarine warfare systems department, which was interesting. Extremely fulfilling role working for the Department of Defense and understanding, protection of our country and so forth. And from that, I worked with a lot of software engineers, and those software engineers really I thought was a very cool looking job as well, and was starting to pursue an MBA and thought it would be kind of cool to mix a business and engineering technology type role together. My father-in-law worked for State Farm here in Bloomington Normal. This was our first time moving away from home. We were starting a family, and made, I think, five trips in 16 months back here to Bloomington to see our friends, to see our families, and decided, hey, why don't I take a look and pursue a potential job at State Farm, applying my interest in software development and business, and was lucky enough to be hired and worked for State Farm for almost 25 years.
Nice.
So that was trip number one to, that made trip number two to Bloomington Normal. While working for State Farm, I worked in and helped stand up State Farm's Research and Development Center in the University of Illinois Research Park.
Nice.
And commuted there for 4 days a week for 5 years.
Okay.
And continued to grow that from when I first joined, maybe eight interns that were working there on a weekly basis throughout the school year. We grew that to as many as 90 at one point, 92. Oh, wow. But I think we averaged around 70 or 80 interns a semester. And really got to know the university. I sponsored projects there, got to know faculty and staff there after 5 years, You're just part of that community. I got to call back to corporate, so I hadn't moved. I was still commuting during that time. But then got the call from the University of Illinois asking me to apply to direct a program that I was a sponsor for, State Farm, that mixed top business students and top engineering students and had corporate sponsors from other large companies like State Farm from across the country. It was too good an opportunity to pass up. They sweetened the deal by giving me the opportunity to lead their Academy for Entrepreneurial Leadership. So I did join the University of Illinois in 2013 and commuted for a few years until my youngest of four sons graduated from University High School here in town. And at that point, he went to the University of Illinois, and so did we. We then moved to Urbana in 2016 and worked for the University of Illinois for another 5 years. And at the end of, back in 21, post-COVID, they'd spent a lot of money in Shield and the saliva testing and so forth. And as a cost savings measure, it offered staff members an early retirement option, of which I qualified by 1 month. And I thought, wow, I'm not really looking for another change. I mean, this was I loved my job there and so forth. But I said, let me just put a floater out there to who's doing some interesting things.
Sure.
That would be potentially another new chapter. And a close colleague of mine that I worked with at State Farm made me aware of what was happening and some big ideas they had at Illinois Wesleyan University. So 59 days after I retired from the University of Illinois, and I tell students I failed at retirement.
Yeah, back at it.
I came back to Bloomington Normal for the third time. So nice. We moved here in late 2021 and have been now there for about 2.5 years.
Okay. Very interesting story. The whole thing with, one of the next questions is always like, what's a fun fact about yourself? And this is going to be fun for me, maybe not the listeners, but the whole anti-submarine warfare, and not to put you on your spot about what age that it was, but I am familiar with some of the technology behind those. So were you working on like the giant chips or was it more the smaller software?
I was working in the area where we tested the components that would go on, whether it was submarines or on surface ships, to determine that if all those, when you get technical, the sonar, the sonobuoys and so forth, and ones that were dropped from helicopters and all the systems, the towed array, the hull, some things I haven't said for many, many years.
Yeah, like making sure those
we're
ships
all working
are...
sure and working together. Yes. And that's where, again, where the falling in love with software. I worked and wrote specifications then that software developers would create into code that simulated the movements. Well, I got to watch what I tell you.
I know where that goes.
Then I watched, I came back to State Farm and started working there. And Hunt for Red October, the movie came out, right?
Okay.
So I'm doing chalk talks on the board before we go to see the movie that night with a bunch of friends, just giving them the basics of underwater sound.
Yep.
And lo and behold, they're showing stuff on the screen that I thought was secret. And going, those cat and mouse things? I didn't think everybody knew about those things.
Right.
And those things were very real. So after seeing Rear Admiral's comment to say, this is brilliant, that's exactly the maneuver of Commander whatever in the Russian fleet, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's amazing, but you know who wrote the specs?
So you should have been in the credits somewhere.
So that's all right. That's all right. I've found my friends that did some pretty cool things with software. And again, we were talking in the late 80s. We weren't talking internet yet. We were just barely getting PCs. And to see that revolution was about to happen, I thought that would be a pretty cool thing to be a part of. I was very thankful for State Farm trusting in someone who had one Fortran class that he took here at ISU. To be able to train me into doing that and then got into project management, project leadership roles, and really enjoyed that time working on the cutting edge of what was emerging technologies that State Farm was investigating in what is now their innovation area.
Sure.
And many of the products that you currently see were actually prototyped and ideated by students who challenged us in some ways to think differently to bring on those products. So
that's great. Well, so besides, being the brains behind the technology and the Hunt for Red October, what is a fun personal fact about yourself?
Well, over the past 10 years that I've worked in academia, I've had the opportunity to lead lots of student trips. I've had to count them up recently, and I've done 40 international and domestic type trips leading over 1,100 students to get experiential learning opportunities.
Sure.
There's a lot you can learn in a classroom, no doubt, but experiential learning is really where... And that's not just new to Gen Zs. We've been the same way, right? We used to call them field trips when we were in grade school and high school and so forth. And to see that now from the perspective and working with companies who so much want to be partners in the education of students, for them to showcase who they are, what they are, and for the students to get to see an inside look, to meet the people who are on the front lines, to meet with the executive leadership, and to see that both here domestically and then internationally in many of the same companies to see how they're doing things there. It's so real world, and I'm fortunate Illinois does that, has done that for a long time. So has Illinois Wesleyan, and post-COVID, we've been able to get out and about again, and recently took, I think we had 20 students with us that went to the Canary Islands, Spain, and Italy, and we visited small businesses, large businesses, tech centers to give them a taste for how things were happening in Europe.
So I'm a little bit jealous of that because I always joke that youth is wasted on the young, but I also think field trips are wasted on the young because as an adult, like that sounds amazing. Like I would love to go travel around and just see. I mean, it's one of the beauties of economic development that we do, not only locally to go see how our local companies operate, but when we go to conferences, there's usually a couple bus tours going on. Mm-hmm. So if you can see about some new developments that are happening, that's great that those students get to see that. And I agree, a lot can be taught in a classroom. I was one where I had to see it to believe it. It's one thing if the teacher, they're telling you something, but yeah, you go there and experience it. It just brings everything to life. So that's awesome.
Well, and as much as you like to get students from different backgrounds together to talk through things, we saw the same thing with the board that was part of that technology management program I was with at the University of Illinois. State Farm was at the table. I was their representative, but there I'm next to people from Boeing and, and John Deere and many, many other companies. And they're facing similar challenges.
Sure.
They're all looking to get a strong pipeline of top students that can help them look at problems in different ways. They're coming up to speed on new ways and technologies and new business processes that, again, makes for a better company, a better workforce, and again, leads right into the types of things we're trying to do here at Westland.
And it's also one where I think that, you know, it's not to be a commercial for State Farm, but if you say State Farm, people automatically think insurance. They're not thinking about what you did, or they're not thinking about the marketing side of it. There's so many occupations within the industry, and you're not going to be able to expose that unless you get them in the door.
When that's where the conversations were with students that I found so fun when we were there in recruiting mode telling students, and they would see State Farm, and of course they'd heard from about us. I went there in 2013, and it was within the month of when State Farm took on rights for the naming of what was then Assembly Hall and now State Farm Center. And of course, they knew the name. A lot of them had the insurance card.
Sure.
One in three, I think, were probably insured as far as cars wise in the state of Illinois by State Farm. But to know that this type of work happens, that you need to stay on the forefront of technology and understand its potential implications of and how it might play, and for them then to understand the company and how that's all working, just seeing that happen there and then so many other companies in Research Park.
Right.
Was just a phenomenal experience for those students to have that opportunity that when they enrolled at U of I, they got that as part of the package. And more often than not, they didn't know that. I mean, they advertise it better now. But in the early days, I would go with my own sons who were thinking about going to school. They were wondering, why aren't you promoting and marketing the fact that this is a phenomenal year-round internship opportunity?
Yep.
Like to see us have even more of those opportunities to partner with companies. And you and I, and I know the EDC and the Chamber are very much promoting internships as a great way for companies to get to see our students and for our students to get more ingrained with the community, and hopefully leads to more of them wanting to stay here in our community.
Exactly. Yeah, student retention is huge. And actually, that'd be a good transition to jump onto what you've got going on over at Illinois Wesleyan University with this Petrick Idea Center. So as far back as you want to go, as far as like, you know, where this came from, I guess where the current state is and where it's going.
Sure, I'd be happy to share. I've been fortunate to be there since 2021. So this is my third academic year with them. So I was a kid with the students, I'm a junior. Mm-hmm. But I came in with a phenomenal plan and vision that had been created by the faculty, staff, and students in prior years. Talking in conversations with the Board of Trustees is what's going to differentiate Illinois Wesleyan and our offerings, knowing that Generation Z, those students are very entrepreneurially minded. They want to create their own purpose. They learn best by doing. Mm-hmm. And is there a way that we can leverage all of that creativity among students across all majors and across all disciplines to want then to work together collaboratively to solve problems, to look at and learn from each other in that time frame, to recognize and appreciate the different skills that people bring to the table, to generate those new ideas, and then ultimately apply what Wesleyan does so well with, well, you're probably familiar, we've heard of the do well, do good, probably, mentality that we have at Wesleyan, and that was a charge from a former president that Miner Myers, who had charged students at graduation to go out into the world and do well, but more importantly, go out into the world and do good.
Do good, yeah.
And bringing that do good component and that conscientious component into play in whatever type of problem students are trying to solve, which is part of applying the holistic thinking and the phenomenal communication skills, the teamwork, the problem solving, all of those things that you get as part of a liberal arts education, made it a natural fit to then add a component and a new place where students could then convene, learn from each other, work together, partner with the community, partner with companies to solve problems. And that's where this Petrick Idea Center idea was born. And since being there, we've worked with students and faculty and staff, community members, and gotten input and have designed a facility that brings the best of those goals and the best ways of solving those problems together. We've integrated a living learning component where even our top entrepreneurially minded students will apply to have the opportunity to live there and be among a group of approximately 80 other students who have also are driven to solve problems mm-hmm. and bring different skill sets to the table. So to see all that together under one roof, we're in many larger universities. It's in pockets yep, and silos. Places mm-hmm. that you may run across if you're lucky during your 4 years there. This is going to be front and center, built right there on the quad, on the corner of the quad, not physically in the center of the quad, but where it will be a visible asset to the and a tool to our faculty, staff, and our students.
Well, I think that the do-good side also aligns with Gen Z, because it's one thing to be entrepreneurship, to go make money. I really think Gen Z's, I got two of them at home, focused on seeing their impact in the world. So that partnership mm-hmm. with the local businesses and knowing that, you know, you're going to work on a problem and, you know, see your impact in the community, I think is going to be massive. And also, I'll date myself a little bit here, but it kind of reminds me, if you remember the movie with Val Kilmer called Real Genius, where they put all the smart kids in one dorm and mm-hmm. they started creating these amazing programs because they all live together. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be something similar. So it's something that we're looking forward to. One, because it's on Main Street. I mean, that whole, mm-hmm. the innovation corridor concept between Uptown and Downtown and Illinois State and Illinois Wesleyan, there's so much brain power here. And it's always been a task of ours at the EDC. I mentioned off the air, like for us, it's easier, and probably 80% of our growth comes from businesses that are already here and helping them grow. Startups are hard, but creating an environment where startups can thrive, I think this is probably gonna be one of the first pieces. I mean, you guys have the SBDC there on campus mm-hmm. At one end. I know that ISU and Craig had talked about, you know, the last episode and what they're working on, but having both these going at the same time, it creates that corridor. And then who knows where this could go, but it's something that we're really excited about.
Personally, one of the attraction points that brought me back to Bloomington for the third time was seeing that possibility and hearing that and reading up, catching up after being away for 5 years on all the great things that have happened here in the EDC and the chamber and beautiful things that have happened here in Uptown Normal mm-hmm. and the advancements I'm seeing in Bloomington. I think there is that possibility. There are very smart people here who are working toward exceptional goals to make this the quality of place and the place that's going to continue to attract and retain great talent and be a happy place for people to live their lives.
It's also something I know Carl's talked about, because we always like, how do you keep the students here? Like, we have these great, I mean, right now in economic development, it's always been a battle for, it used to be you bring the business and the talent shows up. Well, now it's like you have to have the talent or the business isn't coming. Well, we have the, you know, the end of the pipeline's right here. These brilliant minds are coming out. And I think having something like this, it's almost doing what the U of I was doing. You're connecting the businesses with the students immediately. So if you can do that while they're here, there's a better chance they're going to stick around.
I think there's a lot better chance that and connecting them with other resources. So yes. We'd like to package it that when they're applying, whether that's to Wesleyan or Illinois State or considering Heartland, that they're seeing they're not just getting the phenomenal assets that each of those institutions provide, but they're also getting the benefits of being in a community like Bloomington Normal, right. Which it could be a harder sell to a 17, 18-year-old to say, okay, we're not just selling here. We want to keep you here. And at that point in time, they'd be thinking, I'm not sure even what I'm going to be doing at that point in time. But to expose them to the network of people that are willing, which I've already seen, to help and partner in their education, to give them challenging things to think about that they can apply what they're learning in the classroom, makes it a better chance to say, well, I've got a connection here, I've got some connections there, or all these things I was having to recreate if I go elsewhere, what's the benefit of going elsewhere? And then you educate them on the other things they don't think about, cost of living.
Yes.
If they were to go somewhere else, and you let them know what the cost of living is here and the commute times and all the other benefits, and they're smart people, you'd think that they put that together.
And
if they were happen to go somewhere else, there's an even better chance that later on they may come back.
Well, that's both your story and mine. Yeah, I did the same thing. You know, went up to Chicagoland and it was great. And then we realized that, you know, as the kids got older and they were looking at universities, like there's a pretty good university town right next to where we grew up. So it's been a great come home story. And I think there's a lot more of those that could hopefully be happening soon once we get our, you know, housing products up and running, mm-hmm. bring more people back. But no, you're right. You know, this Petrick Idea Center is a great way to sell the community, because as you mentioned, quality of place equals quality of life. And that's what everybody's looking for now. And so you start with the quality of life and then the businesses will follow. And luckily for us, businesses here still expand. We've got new ones still kicking the tires, wanting to come in here. But number one question, where are my workers? Mm-hmm. It all ties together in that flywheel. Awesome. Is there anything else you want to cover on that one before we jump into the next?
I think that covers it.
Okay, cool. Actually, before we move on, best place to get more information. like website?
Check our website, thepetrickideacenter.com.
There you go.
Or you can find us on iw.edu/petrick. You'll hit us pretty easily.
Okay.
You're the first hit on Google.
We'll put one of them, the links in the show notes as well, so our listeners can find it. And then, we always like to ask our guests when they come on here, if you do have a new student in town or somebody else, a colleague, you're trying to show around and recruit them here, like you've got your perfect day any time of year, fall, spring, winter, what are you going to do for that day to showcase Bloomington Normal?
Well, I'm happy to answer that question. We've got friends that we've known since we were 18, 19, 20 years old who will oftentimes come back for homecomings or whatever else, and they're always anxious to see what's new in town. And I've got friends that we've made elsewhere that have come and visited. And food, not a problem.
Yeah.
There's lots of different places. I mean, there's the go-tos that they live basically. We all lived across the street from basically Avani, so you've got to get their fix of a bread and other things that were favorites among them. But Uptown Normal, they love coming into this area and seeing the changes that have happened here, the positive changes. They had good experiences here when it was what it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was a good place then, but it's a phenomenal place now. So they're excited to see that. We'll oftentimes check out Constitution Trail. Of course, that wasn't an asset that was here back in the time that they were in college or we were in college. So we'll do the trail. We live right on the trail in Bloomington, so that's always a great thing to walk them through. We've enjoyed the music scene here as well, the Saturday in the Square, the Castle Theater. It's got some great acts that we've had a chance to see over time. So a lot of things attracting us here, and we're thrilled to be back.
Yeah, the funny thing about Uptown is, as great as Uptown has been, they've just added new restaurants too.
Mm-hmm.
So like even over, I think it was New Year's, we went down to Pizza Pia with some friends. They had lobster pizza as a special, so shout out to them. It was delicious. And it's the same thing. I went to ISU and none of this was here, and now it just looks absolutely amazing, and we're really excited about what Bloomington's going to do too.
See some upgrades that are happening there too with Northwestern Mutual.
And yeah. Put some more money into that, the corridor that we were talking about earlier. So if there was one food item, I know I mentioned Pizza Pia's lobster pizza, which only comes around once a year, but besides Avanti's, is there like this go-to thing? If you're in town, you have to go eat this.
Well, that test was when we lived in Urbana, and what were we craving for?
Okay.
And I have to say, wife and I both agreed, it's the egg rolls from Grand Cafe.
Oh.
There was just something about them that we feel is unique. That
okay.
If we were to say, okay, you've got one more specific menu item
right.
that you can get from any Bloomington Normal restaurant, that'd probably be our
that's
first.
That's it, egg rolls. Okay, that is a first for this podcast. Let's go check those out. I don't think I've had those yet. All right, and then the last one we always ask everybody is just, why does economic development matter?
Well, at the University of Illinois, back to school in a way, right? When I went there after my time at State Farm, economic development became part of the mission of the university back in 2000. And from that, lots was born. The Research Park was born. Illinois Ventures. Groups were born out of College of Engineering and the Technology Entrepreneur Center. And for Geese College of Business, as it's known now, the Academy for Entrepreneurial Leadership was born. Lots of great focus on partnering with and helping students develop skills that would help them in understanding and opportunities for students and faculty to partner with companies as those educational partners, as I mentioned before. And that whole university corporate relationship became win-wins in workforce, as I saw at Research Park. There were, I think, close to 1,500 maybe people who were employed there.
That's a nice size employer by itself.
120 plus companies, some of them faculty-led startups or graduate level or even undergraduate level type startups that were in more shared spaces. But then you've got the large Fortune 100 companies that also had a physical presence there. To see that type of experience potentially come here, and they are there. There's internships that they're offering, and there's even opportunities to work for companies now that I'm seeing. We learned a lot through COVID. Some of them are working remotely and continuing their internships through their school year, academic time, spring and fall. But to see that happening and to see the benefits of their learning, the benefits they can bring to the companies with the new ideas and what they're learning in school that suddenly makes some of those students the teachers, and that happened a lot for us. The iPhone was introduced and Objective-C and the way you could develop applications and students were very anxious in the late 2000s to get skills in developing those, and we quickly became some of the students at State Farm about how that was to happen, but we learned together, quickly got caught up to speed and realized and came up with terms. I don't think we invented it, but mobile first and really ways of approaching our how we architect even software solutions. That was a mutual benefit to the students to see a large company have to evolve into that, and that just continues on. I mean, this next generation and how are we going to embrace generative AI? And that's something I know many all companies are trying to figure out.
Yep.
Students are trying to figure it out. Faculty members are trying to figure it out. And to do that learning together, well, I think it ultimately will impact and make positive impacts on economic development in the areas.
I completely agree, and I think that like what you, the last thing you just said, just learning together, I think that is the beauty of the Petrick Center. That's the beauty of economic development and also having a community that's as diverse as ours, because there's a lot of industry here. And you know, getting all those industries together with our educational institutions, with our public sector coming together, which is what the EDC is, to share ideas, there's a lot of different expertise. And that's how that we can evolve, and why we're actually winning right now is just sharing those ideas and keeping that going. So I'm one, thanks for being on. Two, thanks for bringing your expertise from the U of I over here, because I think we can learn a lot from them, and we love it. We're good friends with the EDO over there and Carly and what she's doing, because we've always said that, you know, we're going to market regionally and sell locally. So we, you know, we celebrate their wins, they celebrate ours. And, you know, yeah, we want them to grow. We want us to grow. And glad you're here, you know, leading this effort. And we'll continue to hopefully expand our part as we announce our new strategic plan that does have a couple entrepreneurship initiatives in it. So that'll be coming at our next Being by the Numbers, making an announcement of, you know, what we're going to be focusing on going forward. But, yeah, love to see things besides the expansion, retention, and attraction, but actually helping out some startups. So I think it's going to be a fun year.
We're in a great location.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about an innovation corridor from north-south here in Bloomington-Normal, but as we think about our partners in Peoria and what they've got going there, of course, they've got going on in Champaign. It runs east-west, too, along that 74 corridor.
Yeah. It's been jokes about the whole triangle thing. We could have our own type of triangle here.
Interesting you should say that. Yeah. Let's see what we can make happen.
Let's not tip anything off, but yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again.
Patrick, my pleasure, and keep doing the great work you're doing.
Thanks.
Tune in next week as we continue to take an inside look at Bloomington Normal's economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners, and learn more about our BN Advantage.